I'd like to speak on the subject of life. Life is precious. How precious life is. Life is precious. That's the title of the sermon. To prime our hearts for the Lord's Supper. To treasure life, be it, of course, our own. Now, not to get a big head like, oh, I'm all that, but to be truly thankful for the life that we have. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is life, and He's the creator, the sustainer, the multiplier of life. And God made you. He made you. And so may we be thankful for how and why that He made us, the life that He gave us, but also that of our loved ones. Maybe not take them for granted. You never know what a day may bring forth. The scripture warns us about that. And it was last Sunday, and maybe some of you were aware, but I didn't know this family. But we read it, you know, it's through our online school. There was a former graduate, a 19-year-old young lady who passed away. And her funeral, I think, was last Sunday from a severe peanut allergy reaction. And so very, very sad. And I think, I don't know all the details, so I don't want to misquote it, but I thought it was a brownie she ate. I think it was even at home. And there was peanut powder was one of the ingredients, you know, and so she ate it. I don't know she ate how many, how much, but she got the allergic attack to that, and then of course she went downward spiral and never recovered. And so that's just tough. And so pray for the family that have lost a 19-year-old young lady. Very tragic, very sudden. In fact, I think a few weeks prior to that, she and her family were at Bearing Precious Seed in Wildwood. They were collating scriptures. There's a photo of her doing it. You know, that's what she really wanted to do with her family. I think for her birthday or something. I might be fudging some of the details there. But you never know what the day might bring forth. Life is precious. Be thankful truly for what we have. You know, I'm thankful for my kids. The kids kind of know the routine when mom's not there. It's sleepover in dad's. You know, I got a photo to prove it. I think we had 6 bodies in our bed last night. How does it work out? It doesn't work out. But we're all. And I'm just thankful for the kids. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, my friends. Life is precious. Life is precious. And again, this is all going to lead up to Jesus Christ willingly giving His life for us. So, amen. But let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 and human life. Specifically human life. I get it, all life is made of God, and that glorifies God, even creation does. But specifically human life, it is indeed precious, beyond precious. Verse 26, the Word of God says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed upon which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be here again. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for just your mercy and goodness to us. Thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we get to assemble, Lord, and without fear of persecution. And thank you, Father, for life that you've given us, that you are life, and that in us is the light of you in us, Lord, and our conscience, and that we are alive and aware of you and our soul. And Father, we are so thankful. Help us to always cherish and treasure life and to proclaim the gospel, everlasting life to people, to deliver us from our sin. And so thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We praise you, Father, for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the Lord Jesus be glorified in all that is said and done. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amazing how out of all creation, God, by his grace, by his will, chose to make you and I in his image. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, a triune God. Of course, we are made in the image of God with a triune creation ourselves, our soul, body, and spirit. It says here, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God made us in his likeness to have dominion over his creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Lord willing, the idea, yes, I understand that we're fallen and marred by sin and the curse. I get that. If you're saved, of course, we've been regenerated. Our spirit is alive again. And by God's grace, when people see us, they see a reflection of God, an image of God. And God made us male and female, created he, them. Of course, God made only two genders, right? The baby in the womb is either a little boy or a little girl. God is the creator of life, not just a creator. He is the creator, the only creator and source of all life ever in the whole universe. God is also the multiplier of life. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said, and God said unto them. In fact, again, he gives in verse 29. He blesses in verse 28. And God blessed them. The main means the male and female, Adam and Eve. God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And God made life to continue to grow. Again, human life, it's precious. And have dominion, you know, as he intended, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then verse 29, God is the sustainer of life. He didn't just make life and then it kind of fizzle out on its own and die on a vine. He is also the multiplier and sustainer of life. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. God gives it. Man didn't ask for it. Man didn't think about it. Adam didn't like, well, wait a minute. How's it going to work out next week? I'm going to get... No, God provided, okay? God made him. Didn't know what's going on. Now Adam was made mature and smart. I get it, okay? But God provided all the needs. He knew and knows what you need, what I need. God bless us with the multiplication of life. We grow by God's grace, children, and praise God for that, to multiply life. And then God sustains that life. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. And so it perpetuates, not just a one harvest and that was it. No, it sustains life. That is amazing, because life is precious. And you, to you it shall be for meat. In fact, you skipped on to verse 31, God's opinion on life. And God made it all human life here. God says in verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There's none good but God. And this reflects God's creation and his majesty. So it's very good. That is amazing. God is the source of all life. John 1, verse 3 and 4 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life belongs to God. You and I belong to God. God alone gives life. God alone makes life, and God alone takes life. Even Hannah, who was barren, she knew this, and so she prayed and prayed and prayed. If God be merciful, give me a man child, and said, you give it to me, I'll give him back to you. And God opened a womb. God 100% gives and takes life as he chooses. Remember Hannah sang her song or her prayer. 1 Samuel 2:6 says this, the Lord killeth, is what she's saying, and maketh alive. Only he can do that. We can't do that. Life is his to give. Life is his to take it. And God alone, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. God is the source of all life. Our job, our role is to treasure it, is to cherish life as best as we can, not destroy it. In fact, I know politics, I don't know if some of you might have seen this, but I shared this with my kids. There's this tear-jerking video of folks who are pro-choice. You know, they openly say they're pro-choice, but they're being shown. This is just people on the street. They're being shown a video of an abortion taking place. Now, it's not actual graphic footage. It's just a cartoon, okay, drawing. But it's an abortion procedure of, I think, 12 to 14 week old baby. You know, and at the start of the interview, you know, he just, you know, the gentleman said, "Hey, are you pro-choice?" I said, "Yeah, pro-choice," you know, blah, blah, blah. And they, "Would you like to see this video?" That sure shows him the video that this kind of shows, and it shows their reaction. And everyone, at least those that they showed, there's maybe five, six people in this video, everyone that's, as they see this video, as they see what happens to that life in the womb as it is dismembered, their face is just shocked, just aghast. They kind of go like this, like some can't even bear to watch it. And then there's a link down there, click to see what they watch, you know, and so I did. You know, because you see, the video only shows their reaction, but you can see a separate video that shows what they saw. And again, it's just a cartoon drawing, but the idea is even as young as 12 to 14 weeks, it looks very person-like. It's not just a glob of cells. Even then, that's life at conception, okay? But this is 12 to 14 weeks. It looks like a tiny little baby, and it shows the procedure, how it goes in with the doctor who had made an oath to preserve life. He goes in with the forceps, feels around for a leg, twists and yank, and out comes a little leg, then other leg, other arm, and other arm. And then the head is typically too large, even at that early age, to fit through. And so the forceps has to clamp around the skull and crush it down. And then it can be plucked out, a beheaded baby. And then the torso. And it has to be assembled on the tray for the surgeon or the doctor who's performing the abortion has to count all the pieces to make sure the body parts are all there because there will be infection if it's left in the mom, okay? So for purpose of that, they count all the pieces. They kind of pseudo-reassemble the baby, and that's the procedure for the abortion. This is 12 to 14 weeks and then goes up from there. And as they were seeing this video, they were just shocked in horror because even though they profess to be pro-choice, even though they might not even be saved, God is the creator of life. And God has given everyone, even lost people, a conscience that they know murder is wrong. They know it's wrong. They know it's life. And conscience can get seared, okay? But they know that, oh, and by the end of the video, they all switch to pro-life. Praise God, okay? From pro-choice to pro-life, okay? But it's amazing that they know it's wrong. It shouldn't be the case. And one of the ladies, she was just bawling at the end. And so she's through tears, she said to the interviewer, she said, "My mom had four abortions before she decided to keep me." So praise God, mom kept her. But I can't even imagine being her. Like, you would know that happened to four of my siblings. They were dismembered and just brutally murdered. Life is precious. I'm not trying to make a political statement. I'm just saying what the Bible says. God is the creator. He's the multiplier. He's the sustainer of life. Only he gives life, and only he takes it. Our job is to treasure it, to nurture it, to cherish it. Praise God that we know that there are folks, so many who are unsaved, that they would spend the life that God gave them in a devil's hell. And so they need the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true life. The battle between God and Satan has always been about life and death. John 10:10, Jesus reminds us, he says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Complete opposites. God has come to give life, an abundant, rich life. Satan is here to destroy that. And what God makes, Satan wants to be anti-God. Satan wants to destroy life. God made life and God made it good, right? This is good. Satan always seeks to destroy what God makes. It was Satan, of course, that tempted Adam and Eve. Now, and I get it, Adam and Eve, they chose to do it. It was the free will. But Satan, of course, tempted them to do that. And then through their fall, ushered in death and sin into creation from man's standpoint. But even with death, God in his mercy promises deliverance, even way back then. And so let's go to chapter 3 of Genesis. Chapter 3, we're still in chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 3 of Genesis. And then verse 15. Even then, God promise of deliverance, which is so awesome. And in fact, if you look at verse 15, this is basically the first and earliest promise and prophecy of the gospel of our salvation, our redemption of mankind from sin, from Adam and Eve's fall. And ever wonder how much of the gospel is in this verse 15? All of it. All right? All of it. In fact, look at this. So the context is in appreciating God's prophecy of deliverance of mankind through the seed of the woman. And so let's go to read. Let's read verse 15. This is phenomenal. Verse 15, the word of God says, and God is promising to Adam and Eve, and I will put, talking to the serpent, but the promise is for us as people, as humans, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That's enmity is open hostility, adversarial, you know, one to another, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now this is huge, because God is, even as early as when Adam and Eve sinned and there was no other humans, just them, God promised them, and by God's grace they would tell their kids about this, you know, maybe as Cain and Abel and Seth, like, you know, kids, sorry, mom and I sinned, okay, there's curse in the world, we're going to die one day, you know, your brother already died, but one day the seed of mama, okay, will deliver us, the Savior, okay? Now, we don't know the name. Jesus is a New Testament name, but the promise of deliverance was given even as early as right here. And don't miss this. What kind of deliverance is God promising? What kind of redemption is God promising? Is he promising deliverance from the curse? Not so much. What was the punishment for what Adam and Eve did? Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 17, because Adam and Eve were not... When no dummies. Chapter 2, verse 17. This is the penalty, the judgment, the wrath, the punishment for taking of the seed of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Look at verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, which they did. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, what? Die. So the punishment for sinning when he ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is death. Death is the punishment, right? If death is the punishment, what must the remedy be? The only thing that's opposite of death. If death is the punishment, that's the judgment. What's the deliverance? The remedy has to be what? Life. Now, next question. Life, but how long of a life? Yes, eternal. There's no redemption for man if God gave us, well, I'll give you another 1,000 years to live and then you're still going to die. That doesn't... And then that might put off the death, but it doesn't remedy the death. The death is still there. And so any life that, regardless of the length, 1 second or 1,000 years, any life that ends with death is still judged. Death is still there, right? And so the life that counters the death has to be a forever life. Okay, that is how God will deliver us through the offspring. The seed of the woman would be with eternal life. Okay, that is phenomenal. Now, how would this Savior, how would this seed of the woman do that? Well, the only way that he can deliver us from death is death has to be basically deleted. Death has to be basically destroyed. No more death, right? It's not just put off death and not just shove death down the line and kind of sandwich, you know, life and death, but your long life in between. Death has to be gone, obliterated. Death has to be deleted. Death has to be destroyed. It's got to be gone. And so it's not just when it kind of initially it sounds like maybe there's a bit of a slugfest, you know, foot to the head, okay. But again, because the context talks about life and eternal life and completely destroying death, okay, the complete destruction of death is what it means when it says it, that's the woman's seed. We know it as Jesus Christ. Of course, he's a promised seed. It shall bruise thy head. Remember, not just put off death, but death is gone, completely gone, destroyed. So it is a permanent destruction of death. That is what the seed of the woman would do. Amen. But the rest of that verse doesn't stop there. It goes on. How would our Savior one day accomplish this? How will our Savior kill death? Thou shalt bruise his, doesn't say head. So it's not a, you know, it's not a double KO. Okay, it's not death dies and then life dies. No, it's not head to head, it's head to heel. And so it is, now bruise is used the same. Bruise is used twice. But the first time for the serpent seed or the serpent is the head to the Savior, it's the heel. And so the application is death will be completely forever destroyed, killed. How? Our Savior would also be destroyed, but not forever. Temporary. That's the heel. Now, so bruise is used twice. They both get destroyed. Death is going to be gone, dead. The Savior is also going to be gone, dead, but not forever. In fact, we know now, 3 days. He came back. Because where life, when death is destroyed, what happens? Life has to come in. And so the context is huge. If we're only thinking of this as far as curse, it doesn't have the interpretation as if we think of this as death. Because the only way to overcome death is to have life and forever life at that. Not just long life, forever life. I mean, this is amazing. This is exactly what the resurrection is. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the seed of the woman. Amen. He lived that sinless life and then he died. He did get bruised. He did die. But in so doing, he killed death when he rose from the dead. Because Jesus Christ, his life for the first 3 days ended with death. But then after that, he what? He rose, beating death. And it's alive forevermore. That's the gospel. The death, the resurrection of our Savior. We know his name is Jesus Christ. They didn't know the name per se, but they knew that promised seed. It's always been the gospel. God himself was saved, okay? In fact, it was God himself that clothed Adam and Eve. If you go down to verse 21, God has always done it. He blessed us to multiply us. He gives us food. He takes care of all our needs even today. That has not changed. Verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife. Ironically, Adam and Eve sinned. They were deceived. You know, they were tempted by Satan. Their heart deceived them, of course, you know, and they ate of it. And then, of course, God is the one that does the first killing in the Bible with the sacrificial animals. Adam and Eve didn't ask for it. God did it. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. Of course, to skin the animal, he slew the animal. And clothed them. Jesus Christ, of course, is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he killed sin, ironically, by dying. Because that is the only way you can conquer death, is by dying and then coming back to life. And so that is an amazing story. And then, of course, we know, let's turn to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20, the final triumphant state of creation. No more death. Satan tried, he failed. Because God is the source of all life and the sustainer, the redeemer, the multiplier of life. And life is precious. Life is precious. Satan knows it's precious, but Satan hates it. Revelation chapter 20 and then verse 14. Revelation chapter 20 and then verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death and hell itself will be destroyed. And then look at chapter 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away, things that have been marred by the curse. God will make all things new. Now, he hasn't changed. He's always been life. Life is precious. I'm just so thankful that we have the eternal life, because that is the only life that is. if it's just temporary life, then it's not eternal life. And so the life that we have doesn't end at death. It's forever life. What a joy. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a comfort, Lord. I thank you so much again for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for the promise of the Scripture that we have eternal life that is not just eternal separation from you in the lake of fire, that we've been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through the power of his resurrection. I thank you, Father, so much that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to come and die for us. And so, Father, we love you. Help us now as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ and his broken body and poured out blood on Calvary's cross. We pray, Father, we would do this obediently in faith and in submission in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a